Great. Thanks a lot. So we're gonna continue with Hubbell, and I'm joined on stage by Chairman and CEO David Nord and CFO Bill Sperry. So gents, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having us.
Great to have you here. And David, I think you've got some prepared remarks, so kick off with that, and then we'll get into Q&A.
Yeah. I just a couple, you know, early comments. First, thanks again for inviting us here. It's always a great opportunity, and looks like the crowd continues to grow every year, so.
Yep. Yes. Happy.
I'm sure that's you and not the location, but no. You know, it's always a good time of year after Labor Day. Everybody comes, you know, summer's over, and everybody's back to work, and you really start to focus on the rest of this year and into next year. And I think, you know, the good news from our standpoint is the year has been playing out pretty much how we expected. We early on in the year, you know, were viewed as had a little bit conservative estimates, but thought that things could be better. And I think that's what we've seen through most of the markets, either stabilizing or accelerating growth, you know, across all of our markets. You know, particularly, you know, we've been pleased with our power business, our transmission distribution business. And I think they're going to see some additional benefit from the unfortunate circumstances that we've seen in both Houston and in Florida. But we've got a dedicated team working to provide all the resources they need to bring the power back on. But it really applies to all of our businesses doing quite well. You know, of course, with the one exception of the challenges that we saw early in the year with our lighting business and more operational from the aggressive cost actions that we've been taking. But we're really getting that under control, and I think that's just indicative of the continuous focus that we've got on our costs and really driving costs to maintain our competitive position. You know, I think, we're continue to focus on redeployment of capital, shareholder returns, increasing dividends, share buyback, and acquisitions. Started the year with some good acquisitions, and the pipeline is starting to build back up again. So I think we're going to see a lot more, expect to see a lot more activity, you know, as we exit the year and certainly going into the next year. We're more optimistic, and that's always been a key part of our strategy is adding to our organic growth with acquired growth. It's been successful. We just had a review with our board a couple days ago on the history of our acquisition performance over the last 5 years, and you know, it confirmed to them that that is an important element of our strategy, and we've been successful at it, so we're going to continue to do what we're successful at. So all in all, we feel pretty good sitting here this time, this year, as opposed to sometimes in prior years. So.
Great. That's good to hear. So you're feeling pretty good. So let me just elaborate on that one. So would you say that your I mean, what's the word, conviction or degree of comfort on the recoveries that you're seeing, would you say it's greater than maybe, you know, May, June timeframe?
In some places, yeah. I mean, the power business, for sure. I mean, we saw some of that in the second quarter. But, you know, as I've always said, one quarter does not a trend make, so you always, you know, want to make sure that continues. And you know, it's continued for sure, and I think particularly what we've been pleased with is at least to date we've been able to maintain pricing. A little bit of pressure, but you know we've been ahead of the curve, maintained it, and so we feel better about you know some of the rising commodity costs at least in that business that we're not having to play catch up, and it may give us the opportunity to hold it. But some of the other businesses are doing quite well too. Some parts of our commercial construction business are doing well. The light industrial business doing well. Certainly the gas distribution business that we started expanding into is doing well, maybe even a little bit better. You know, pretty strong order rates there. And so, you know, we're pretty pleased. I mean, I think probably the only slow spot that has just not gotten the traction yet is probably on the heavy industrial mm-hmm. side of our industrial business.
Yeah.
So when you put it all together, and then lighting is, you know, it's holding its own.
Okay.
It's holding its own. So.
Now, the pricing comment, was that specific to the power business, David, or was that a bit more broad?
Yeah, no, that's specifically for the power business. In fact, you know, some of the other businesses have, you know, you saw steel rise toward the end of last year, and so it gave us the opportunity to put through some of the price increases to cover those commodity costs. But then this year, you're seeing the copper increases, which we're now trying to, you know, put through pricing or will going into next year.
Okay.
So that's what we're managing. There's always a 3-6 month lag.
Okay.
In that for us.
So we have to wait until the back end of the year announced price increases for 2018 to
Yes.
recover that inflation. And do you think that you can actually capture enough price to offset the inflation for 2018?
Historically, we have. So it's a question of what the market will bear, but you know, we've got a pretty long record of being able to do that. So unless there's some dynamic change in the market, and a lot of that is really dependent on our ability to service the market. You know, the
Yeah.
the responsiveness of the service, the quality of the product, that gives you the ability to maintain pricing discipline. And I think that's so.
Yeah. I think the comments on commercial construction are, you know, pretty quite bullish. And I know there's, you know, one or two brokers out there with a negative view on non-resi.
Yeah, we know. I noticed.
We won't mention the names here, but sounds like that's maintained a pretty nice, you know, cadence view.
It definitely has. And, you know, one of the things that I've learned over, you know, my tenure with Hubbell was that, you know, I'd love to come to these events and meet with investors, and because there's a lot of smart people who follow, you know, our business very closely and as well as our competition, and they have some insights into the market that we may not have. So I never want to ignore certainly contrarian views. And so I found the piece that by one of the analysts suggesting that, you know, non-res was turning down, that we have to pay attention to that and figure out that we haven't seen that. We look for the signs, certainly, to try and get ahead of that. But to date, we haven't seen signs of that.
That's right.
But
Okay.
at some point, that might be an accurate view.
Okay. I mean, there's one or two brokers out there with a more bullish view on heavy industrial as well. You haven't seen that recover yet.
Right, right.
Okay.
No.
But any indications that, you know, maybe RFP activity in the pipeline?
Yeah, some of our business guys have said they're seeing signs of some activity, not translating into orders yet, but, you know, these are folks who have been in the industry for a long time, so they have a pretty good sense. And so they're, you know, cautiously optimistic that it's going to start to pick up, and we should see some of that hopefully as we exit the year or certainly going into 2018.
Okay. And then obviously, harsh and hazardous gets a lot of attention from investors too. You've said that your content on an offshore rig is, you know, order of magnitude higher than an onshore rig.
Right.
So we've seen a little bit of good news, but no real inflection point in that business.
Right.
Is that still the case?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Great. And then you mentioned the impact of the storms, and it sounds like the power business is going to be a relatively quick benefit, you know, as utilities repair the poles. What about the other impacts you're seeing across the portfolio?
Well, there's probably in the immediate term more negative than positive with either internally with some of our facilities that were shut down, or with the customer base who had, you know, some of their facilities damaged or at least inaccessible. So I think there's more near term work on hold. That'll start to pick up, but, you know, it may not pick up till the end of the, you know, end of the month and going into next quarter. I think even on the power business, certainly there's a lot of emphasis and a lot of work, and a lot of effort going into recovery. The interesting other side of that is, you know, you put 20,000, 30,000 linemen in Florida. Well, they came from somewhere else that was going to be doing work, so it's not necessarily all incremental. Some of the inventory that's going down there is being redirected from the existing utilities or distributors. So, you know, I think some more of that impact is likely to be into the fourth quarter than this quarter.
That's very consistent with what people have been saying today. Then lighting, and I know, you know, lighting gets a lot of attention, but it's a medium-sized business that's been lagging behind. You had some logistics issues, you know, back end of 1Q, and you called out in April. Where are we in terms of remediation of those issues?
Yeah. Bill, you wanna take that?
Yeah. I think, as a result of our need to take the cost structure down in that business, the lighting folks were a big beneficiary of our restructuring dollars. Both on the manufacturing side, Nigel, we closed down a number of facilities and put that volume into larger, high volume, lower cost plants. Similarly on the distribution side, similarly, we did some consolidation. You know, earlier this year, both of those workflows got impacted, I think, by the level of activity we were doing. On the distribution side, as we stood up a new regional, large regional DC, and we're consolidating a number of satellite facilities, we found that we were duplicating 3PL costs, touching material too many times per order, and all of those costs added up. We've spent quite a bit of time over the last three, four months ironing that out, and that warehouse now is performing really nicely. It's picking and packing very well. It's on time with its deliveries, and shipments are all accurate. We feel very, very good about that one. On the manufacturing side, we've basically been consolidating the volume into four major plants, and there was really three of them functioning quite nicely with the receiving that new volume and one that got a little bit overwhelmed with the complexity of what they were taking on. Again, we spent some team down there, and they've been sorting that out, and we've seen their service levels improve to better than it was last year, and still an opportunity to actually still do better. We're happy with the remediation efforts. Our original expectation was that getting into the fourth quarter, that would largely be ironed out, and I think our progress is very consistent with what we originally mentioned in April. We're happy to get service levels and on-time deliveries for the business up there.
You know, I think, you know, and I'd add, Nigel, but one of the things that comes out of it actually, there's some positives. You know, on the distribution center, one of the problems that we had were some really basic issues, but it highlighted and actually endorsed the decision to set up this new facility because some of the problems were coming from the fact that we had multiple facilities with inventory in multiple places in very inefficient processes that needed to be fixed. It's necessitated the focus to get to the levels that we need to do in order to service the market. You know, that business is now operating at 99% on time and 99.5% accuracy on their deliveries. Still, opportunities to reduce the number of shipments and reduce the cost of getting those shipments out, but certainly getting there. Similarly on the residential lighting business, one of the problems we ran into is not having inventory to service the demand. Well, why didn't we have that? Well, the demand was higher. A lot of this was on new product introductions that had much stronger market reception than we were anticipating. You know, there's been a catch-up element of since most of that product is all sourced offshore, you know, there's a time lag to get it in, so we've brought in all that inventory, getting those, the timeliness of that back in shape. The other piece was a commercial industrial plant that was absorbing all these other closed plants, brought that in and, you know, it was the challenge of trying to get production that was being done someplace else done in a new location. But more efficiently.
Yeah.
All the things that unfortunately came together at once, but were all supportive of things that clearly we needed to do. I feel really good about the service levels, and I think we've heard that from the market as well. Like everything, it takes a little time to prove that you can do that sustainably. If we continue to do that, I'm confident that we're gonna start to see more recovery in that market.
The lesson from this is that you were trying to run too fast too soon, being a bit too ambitious with restructuring. Is that the takeaway?
Pretty much, yeah.
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 Okay. Where are we on the program, on the restructuring program? What have you achieved? What's left to achieve going forward?
Yeah. Over the last 2 years through 2017 and going back even a quarter back into 2015, we've spent now about $1.25 of earnings. We've had the ability to do, I think, a couple important things, Nigel. I think one is respond to the cost structure in lighting that needed to become more competitive. We needed to address the cost structure at harsh and hazardous as a result of that volume coming down. We needed to address the cost structure within heavy industrial, so we've done some consolidation there. I'd say the fourth stream was around recent acquisitions, where you end up acquiring a portfolio of kind of smaller, less efficient facilities, and you have the opportunity to bring that into your core facility. It feels to us, with that $1.25, we've effectively gotten about a two-year payback on that spending. We think we've now had cumulative savings in kind of the mid-$0.60 sort of range. That's a function of the fact that a lot of the harsh and hazardous was headcount driven rather than facility, because we see the facility actions actually having slower paybacks than the 2 years.
Yeah.
Our spending going forward, we're anticipating tapering down to the $0.15-$0.20 a year. We're anticipating that level of activity having in the three-year of payback range. We think that, Nigel, for us, falls into just the background of how we run the company, and that's year in, year out, and we're talking about reported earnings from here out. That's tapered down to kind of a steady state starting in 2018 and beyond.
Okay. Do we then stop calling out as a separate item, or does it just get absorbed within the—
Yes.
—within the GAAP? Okay.
Yes.
Okay. That makes sense.
We had a history of doing that it was all embedded. I think we found ourselves, we got a little bit behind. We weren't doing enough. There was this bow wave of activity that we needed to do. It was coupled with the need to be more aggressive in the lighting business because of competitive pressures that created this uptick that was really out of the norm that we had to talk about.
Right.
We want to get back to a normal run rate that we're going to continue to do in the $0.15-$0.20 range, but just embedded in our operations.
Okay. Great. Bill, you mentioned a lot of these surplus capacity, excess plants, because acquisitions brought in some subscale operations, but they maybe weren't integrated at the time of acquisition. Going forward, when you do these deals, and David, you mentioned you want to be a bit more aggressive, is there a change to the way you integrate acquisitions in the first couple of years?
No, I still think that the first move on acquisition integration for us tends to be more on the G&A side, and the physical move probably comes closer to year three on average. I think there's been examples, Nigel, where we've moved it really early. I think our preference is to get a little bit used to the new company before doing that, if we had our preference.
Okay. I'll take one more question, then I'll offer the audience a chance to ask a question. Back to lighting. We've heard from a couple of folks here that lighting trends seem to be getting, maybe not better, but slightly better is probably the right word. Would you agree with that comment, that maybe the activity levels are starting to— Well, certainly the comps are getting easier.
Yeah. They're not getting worse, at least to what we've seen. I think we've, over the course of July and August, it certainly had been improving. I think we saw a little bit during the month of August, a little of a slowdown, but that has started to recover in the first half of September. It's one of those, I don't get too excited about a couple of weeks.
Right.
The trend overall has been pretty stable.
It sounds like lighting's a bit choppier than the rest of the portfolio at this point.
You won't hear me say that.
Fair enough. Great. Any questions? One here.
Maybe if we could just get one in here back on acquisitions. Obviously, You guys acquired iDevices earlier this year. Maybe a move towards more of a digital type of framework in the portfolio. Do you see yourselves needing to do more to build out that initiative for Hubble? And how do you see iDevices integrating into the portfolio?
Certainly, you know, that was a significant move for us that we clearly needed to jumpstart and make a bigger move into getting that capability. We have had, you know, we've been doing some, but not at the level that we needed to, and had an opportunity to pick up a very good platform. They've been integrating very well into the organization. Not operationally. They have their a unique culture, and that's the kind of place that you absolutely have to respect their culture. But in terms of the market, been very active in some joint marketing programs where they've been able to take advantage of some of our insights from a residential lighting aspect. And we've been able to support some of their leads. And we've been very successful in actually displacing some incumbent offerings because of the capability of that product. But iDevices is much more than just a product sale. It really is a capability that we have the opportunity, and we've been working through the rest of the organization in figuring out what are the highest uses and opportunities to embed that capability into our existing products to make them smarter, more capable. And there's a tremendous list of those, and there's some limited resources. So to date, we're balancing what's the best use, but it's also identifying the need to add more. So either adding more through the iDevice organization or adding more through another acquisition, but certainly more to do there.
Yeah, I mean, iDevices is more of an IP stroke technology purchase as opposed to a company purchase.
Yes.
Do you think that as you add to this platform that, you know, the same kind of templates where it's more of an IP play than an actual physical company?
I think so. I think so. I mean, we have great products. We have great market presence. But we need the capability to, if you will, make some of those products smarter or more IoT-enabled. And to do that, you need that kind of, you know, precisely what we've seen with the iDevice capability, you know, what they bring to the table, you see it time and time again. And so that's a model that I would expect to be doing more of.
And then what's the vision for iDevices in, let's say, 3 to 5 years' time? What's the long-term vision?
You know, that's a good question. I think you're going to see iDevices in more places, in more products. Even to date, the iDevice capability is in many products that we don't make, but it's a capability that the others have found useful, and so they're constantly being approached to make someone else's products smarter. And so they co-brand. And I think you're going to see more of that. Obviously, we're biased to having that more in Hubble and iDevice, but you're going to see more of that, more of the capability than a unique iDevice product.
Okay, so you think there could be a, you know, a third-party business as well as an embedded presence? Okay,
right.
That's great. And David, you mentioned the ambition to ramp up the M&A. I mean, obviously, we've seen deals first half of the year, but how do you balance the multiples in the market right now, which are pretty frothy in general? How do you get deal flow done without, you know, ripping up the ROI math?
You know, one of the things that we do is one of the keys is sticking to what's worked well for us in the past. And one of the things that has been one of the keys that we've been very successful is focusing on our more typical 50, 75, maybe $100 million transaction that we may have been following for many years, we may have been grooming for many years. We have personal relationships, and we find that that is a much more successful way of maintaining pricing discipline, because in many of those cases, the seller is not, doesn't have first and foremost getting 12, 14, 16 times. They have an interest in the continuation of something that they've built, maybe even continuing with something that they've built. And so they find us to be a very desirable buyer. And so that's the first level of discipline. When you get to a larger transaction, you do have to pay a little bit more, but many of those are worthwhile because combined with our channel presence, our market presence, it's very valuable in that combination. As a standalone, if you valued it, you might not say that. And I think, and Bill can add, but I think we've seen some moderation in some expectations, is why, I expect that the market and the pipeline might start to increase. Is that?
I think, Nigel, we found the pipeline at the early part of the summer getting a little thin. I kind of give it a B minus. It was either overpriced, which is kind of your question, or that were people expecting multiples, that were a little bit unrealistic. And I think that we've seen that get a little bit improve, I think, over the last month or so. So that's been encouraging, I think, from our point of view.
Then, press reports have the Indian assets up for sale, and you've got GE selling their industrial solutions businesses. Are those kinds of opportunities too big for Hubbell in general?
Not by size. I mean, the size is not necessarily too big, but it really has to, hit on a when you do something, if we were to do something that large, you really have to make sure that it hits all of the marks for us, and doesn't put the value of the existing franchise at any risk. So, we certainly take on smaller fixer-uppers because, we can manage those and we could manage the risk of those. But if you get to a larger transaction that requires a lot of work, that's one that,
Yeah.
wouldn't hit the screen. If it was a well-run, something that, added to our portfolio, would be very clearly value creating, we certainly would consider that.
Okay, great. Maybe just one more. iDevices, I think, shows that you're thinking, strategically about, the future, the way the market's trending. And, you don't have an auto presence, but, the, light vehicle market is going electric. You're an electrical equipment supplier. One would think there'd be some place here in that opportunity. How do you think about that?
Well, a couple of things. We just recently or will shortly launch a home vehicle charger. I would tell you that the first launch, the initial launch, will not be a smart vehicle charger, but it will be shortly followed by a smart vehicle charger that, not surprisingly, would incorporate iDevice capability. So that's, that's one example of how we think about it. And then there's, we take that, some of the needs that you can see building around electric vehicles, particularly around charging, both residential and commercial. And we certainly have the knowledge and the capability, and in some cases, even products that could support that today. So we're focused a lot on that market.
Great.
I think the other angle, Nigel, to that trend, there'd be some investment required in the infrastructure from the energy side to support the number of charging stations out there, and that would be, without even new product, just investing in the infrastructure would be positive too.
Great. Thanks, Bill. Time for one more question. I think, yeah, one more from this guy.
Maybe just one more on M&A, if you could. How are you thinking about power versus electrical in terms of where you see gaps in the portfolio, where you would look to spend capital going forward?
Well, we're we're an equal opportunity investor, although it's hard not to look at the power business, look at the returns, the market position there, and think that that would be a place to, that would probably be your first choice, do that. And then shoring up, some of our core electrical, adding to, continuing within the electrical business to add brands, add to our product offering. And then the third piece is looking at adjacencies, as we did, over the last 2 years on the gas distribution, where we've learned about that business. And it's been a very nice add, nice growth, and has a lot of similarities to the electrical business. So, those would probably be the three places. And I think even on the lighting side, where there's a need to, where there's an opportunity for either a product expansion or, more importantly, a capability enhancement, we would look at that.
Okay. David, let's draw a line there. Thanks.
All right.
Thanks, Bill.
Thank you.
Nigel.
Good.